Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, Indian football enthusiasts. This is Injury Time Podcast, and I'm Sandeep Menon here. I know with the regular pod, we have not been very consistent, but we'll come up with new episodes. We're just waiting for a few things to iron itself out. But in the meantime, we are going to keep you busy with and give you entertainment as well with some interviews. And this one is that of Pradyum Reddy. Recently, we had a chance to sit down with Mr. Reddy, who was a coach of Pune, assistant coach in Bengaluru FC, and a few other Shillong Lajong, very well-respected Indian coach. We had a lot of conversation about just about everything, I would say that, just about everything. That's a long interview, a little over an hour, so we're going to release it in two parts. And this is part one. So enjoy it and let me know if you like it. So Pradyum, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Very nice of you to meet us in such a short notice. So what are you up to now? First of all, let's start with that. I saw you at the second edition games.
Well, I go to as many games as possible. Whenever there's a live match, an opportunity to watch a match, I always try and catch a game, because wherever I will be next season, those experiences help you spot a player, and maybe a few years later you'll realize this is someone worth having a look at. As far as what I'm up to, I'm still contracted to Pune till the end of this month, and then I'll start looking to move on from Pune, because I don't think it's, in 2 years I've done a lot more than what has been done at that club, and time to find greener pastures.
So now you've had a history doing extremely well in the Northeast with Shillong. You got them promoted. Yeah. Then I think Tang Boy Chingto was there for 7-8 years, did a good job with the team. Then obviously setting up Bangalore FC, you were instrumental in that as well, getting the players, and now in Pune. Like I said, you've done a lot of good work, Ashik and everyone coming through. Even Robin finding some goal-scoring form last year after a couple of tough seasons. So how has the experience been like all these places?
To start with, Shillong was phenomenal. My first experience was going to watch Shillong in the I-League in their first season. And I was blown away by the crowds. They had 28,000 people. And the atmosphere was phenomenal. And I thought, this is where football is heading in India, and so I should try and get myself over there. And unfortunately for them, and fortunately for me, they got relegated in the last game of the season, so the opportunity came up to take the team. They were in bad shape, they had lost a lot of players, their budget was slashed, and they gave me, I'm very grateful to Ming for that, he gave me an opportunity for someone who's new to Indian football. And it was initially just 2 months to help the team out, to stabilize in pre-season, and 2 months became 2 years. So we did well in the Fed Cup. That led to a 5-year contract, and that was a great experience, getting them winning the second division, getting promoted, and then staying in the I-League. And unfortunately, until now, they had managed to stay in the I-League until this season.
Difficult also for them with the budget and the way things were moving, without knowing what the future was. A lot of things not going in I-League club's favor.
Could be, or maybe, I don't know, Ming's the vice president of the AFF, so maybe he knows something more than what all of us know, because he chose to go in this season without any foreign players. Obviously, it can be done. Arrows have done it for years, but obviously Arrows are picking the best players from all across the country, and Lajong are picking the best players only from the Northeast. So it's a smaller sort of pool of players they're picking from, but I think from a business point of view, if you look at what that club's done in the last few years, they made, I think, about 1.6 crores in the draft 2 years ago. And that's unheard of for football clubs in India to make that kind of money in player transfers. So by blooding youngsters, I think they're on the right track if they see themselves as a feeder club. And if they can make money from getting players to go and play in other I-League clubs or ISL teams, then that's a pretty good model that they're going in, because let's be honest, most clubs don't make money in Indian football. So when you can make that kind of money, you can sustain your team for many, many years.
And we often talk about in the podcast how you were one of the fundamental, or maybe even the bedrock of Bangalore FC starting, because you scouted all the Indian players and probably even had a big part in bringing Menyonger.
Definitely, yeah. I was the first person they hired to come on board, and I remember we had a clear vision given by the management of the owners at the time. So I presented two Excel sheets to them. One was with sort of well-established players like your Nubbies, NP Pradeeps, etc., who were looking for clubs and at the time were available, but would have obviously cost a significant amount. Or there was the alternative, which was bring in relatively unknown or up-and-coming young players like your Siam Angles, your Keegan Pereiras, or players who people have started to forget about, like Reno Antos and Beko Kai, etc. So Mustafa Clear and Mustafa said, this is the model we want to go with. We want young players, like an Arsenal philosophy of let's get up and coming young players and develop them. And he said the target is within 3 years we should be challenging for the title. So I had a 3-year contract, and that's how the initial mentality was. And Mandar felt we should bring in at least one of the four foreigners should be someone who's played in India, so it'll help the other foreigners acclimatize. And both of us were obviously big fans of John Menyonger. So that was an easy one, and Mandy said, yeah, let's sign him straight away.
I watched Menyonger. I still think he's one of the best midfielders that BFC had. Dimas is probably up there as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe even Eric. But he was so good. And how was he not in a bigger club? Like, he was in Shillong. I think he worked at mm-hmm. for a while.
Yeah, I think... Well, John Menyonger had a great career in America. Played in the USL. He was one of the all-time leading scorers in the USL. He still holds... I think he's one of the top three scorers in their cup competition over the years. And I've played against... As a coach, we faced up against United Sikkim in the second division. Mm-hmm. And we were comfortably winning that game until Menyonger came on as a sub, scored one, Beko Kai scored the other, and Johnny missed a penalty, and there was a draw. And that draw helped us qualify, and it pretty much made it difficult for Sikkim to qualify. And at the end of the season, because we had spoken, because both of us had been in America, there was some commonality. And he called me up out of the blue and asked me if he wanted to play for me. I honestly thought we couldn't afford him at the time, because I knew East Bengal and a couple of other clubs were chasing him. But Johnny said he doesn't want to play for those clubs, he wanted to play for Shillong. So it was a fantastic opportunity to get a player, like a former Liberian national team captain, and it was just a joy to watch. As a coach, I needed senior players like that at La Jong, because I had a lot of young players, and I think he brought a lot of that to BFC as well. We had a lot of young players like Siam and Toy, who were inexperienced in midfield, and having Johnny playing alongside them was a good calming influence. And I think the triangle that we had at the base,
he moved back.
Yeah. That was a smart call by Ashley. Ashley chose to use Johnny more as a defensive midfielder, but more as a playmaker from a defensive position. And with John Johnson, Curtis, and Johnny at the back, and let's not forget, even Pawan is very good at his feet. So we could play out the back and cause a lot of problems for teams because of that. And unfortunately, he was getting on in years, so I still felt maybe he should have probably played the first season of the ISL. Johnny was good enough to play. But BFC have done well since then. They've got a history of getting very good players in that position. One that everyone forgets is Alvaro, who played in the AFC Cup. I'd put him, when you talked about players, like the top three midfielders for me that have played for BFC would be Johnny Menyonga, Alvaro, and Dimas is up there as well. All three of them. Johnny and Alvaro especially were just great to watch.
I remember watching, because it was in the Bangalore Football Stadium, it was much smaller, you were closer. As a fan or a journalist, you were sitting much closer.
Yeah.
And I remember him turning flicking between the leg when two guys are pressing and just turning around and leaving. And I always thought this is one of the early days, and I thought he was actually a defensive midfielder. And suddenly you see him, then you suddenly see him beat the, you know, pass through the lines and break it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you started seeing more and more often. It's amazing to watch. I still think of him very fondly.
Yeah, I mean, every time I go to the Bangalore Stadium now for the second division games or local league games, a lot of the old fans, especially the ones who used to sit in the north stand, if I'm not mistaken, the one, they always come up to me and I probably shouldn't repeat this expression that they use on camera, but they say, "Kulla so and so player." They were like, "What a player he was!" And you know, they enjoyed watching him play. And I think that was the beauty of that stadium. It was small; fans could get really close to the action, and because the team was doing well, you, pretty much, I think, in every home game, I remember that Johnny would always do something which got the crowd off their feet, whether it was when the ball is stuck between his legs, jumping over to defenders, or making Beto, and he did something special in every game that just sort of stood out.
Yeah.
So it was a crowd pleaser too.
Absolutely. And talking of certain players that you have great affinity or relationship with, Eugene. I saw Eugene when he was in Rangjidai. I'm sure he played for you in Shillong before.
Yes.
So I saw him in Rangjidai. It looked good, but came to BSC the year after, along with Udanta, who is probably the next question I was going to ask.
Sure, yeah.
So, he just took off. Did you know he had that kind of potential? And if not, if so, he came around 28. A lot of the years were gone.
My first experience with Eugene was, I mean, I've probably told this story 100 times. We had a local league match in Shillong, which is Shillong Ajong versus Arima, it was then called, which is Eugene's father's club. And it was a horrible rain-soaked match, the puddles everywhere on the field, and there's one player that just stood out for me. And at the end of the game, I was stood talking to Arima's coach Herring, and Eugene walked by, and I just stopped him, shook his hand, and said, "You know, you're a phenomenal player. I said, what are you doing, wasting your time at this level? You should come play in the I League." And later, through one of his common friends who worked for Shillong Lajong, the word was that he wanted to play for us, but he didn't know how to approach the fact that he's leaving his team, who were trying to get into the I League, and they were in the second division, and come to us. So the word got back that I needed to speak to Eugene's dad, who's obviously a big man in Shillong and owns Arima Football Club. So I picked up the phone, called him, and he said, it was very simple, he said, "Yeah, sure, just speak to the team manager and get the paperwork done." The team manager was quite surprised that the owner had given such permission, and so he said it, but there was one condition, and the condition was we couldn't pay Eugene. So
that what?
Yeah, so obviously it was music to the Lajong owner's ears, and we were delighted by this. So we picked him up at the start of the I-League season, so he didn't do the pre-season with us, he just joined in. And as the season went along, his partnership with John Manyonga and just gelling with the other players, I think Eugene finishes our top Indian scorer that year in the I-League. And unfortunately for him and Manyonga, I left that season after that, and Desmond Wilton came in, and they didn't fit into the style of play for Desmond Wilton, and then Eugene chose to leave and go back to his club, which had then rebranded as Rangdaji. And we played against them in the Federation Cup in Manjeri. And
Manjeri in Malappuram?
Yep. And it was a last minute free kick, I think, from Eugene that Lamine Tamba scored the goal, and otherwise we would have qualified for the semi-finals. That was our first year in the Fed Cup. So that's when Ash was like, we need to get this guy. So I said, I'll speak to him, I know him, and he'll come for sure. And again, it was an easy decision for him at that time, because Rangdajit were dropping out of the I-League, and he wanted to be in a club where he could win something. So again, we got him for an absolute bargain, because for him it wasn't about the money, it was about an opportunity to play with the likes of Sunil and the other players that we had in the team, and also to play in the AFC Cup, play in the Champions League qualifiers. he just grew strength to strength. From
did you know he could?
I always felt the potential, because he had tools that other football players didn't have. Indian football players, we mentioned about Alvaro and other foreign midfielders. Eugene had this ability to play with his head up. He could see a picture. He had good left foot, good right foot, so set piece delivery. He could spray the ball around, and he had a knack of goal scoring, and deceptively quick. He's good in the air, score headers. So we just knew he'd fit in, but he had to just get the work ethic was something that he wasn't accustomed to. At BFC, obviously, the fitness was a huge component. So that took him a while to get into the rhythm of how we played. But I think some of his best performances for us were in AFC competitions.
Yeah.
And
against Johar, he scored that screamer.
He scored for us when first in the Champions League qualifier, scored straight from the corner. I think if I recall, there were games where single-handedly in the I League he won us games with wonder strikes. It was one against Bharat FC, it was one against DSK later. There were just some phenomenal goals that he scored.
He's got some 11 assists or something that year, I think. I remember finding some stat like that.
Yeah, I think that was his purple patch for Eugene, because he joined us and just went from strength to strength, and the end of that season was the first ISL auction, and Pune picked him up. And I remember David Platt had phenomenal things to say about Eugene. He played him in a lot of games, he did well for them too. So he was just, that was, I think, his, as most footballers do, peak at 28, around that time is when he peaked and got into the national team, did well for India as well. So that's, he was a great signing.
I always feel bad for him, because he was very instrumental in getting us to qualify for the Asian Cup. Mm-hmm. Or before that, even in the World Cup qualifiers, he had some good performances for the national team. And then just got injured one after the other and never really got back. I hope he can now, next season or something.
Yeah, I think he's just been unlucky. He got injured, missed out, and nowadays there's so many good young players coming in that midfield position. You've got Roland Borges, who's stepped up. Pranoy is now injury-free for a while. Tapa's doing really well. The kid from Kerala Blasters, he's good. So there's a lot of players pushing for that centre midfield spot. Obviously, Brandon's possibility there as well. So it would be tough for Eugene to dislodge him, especially when he's not getting as much game time at under Koppel. He didn't get. So I think for him, probably, maybe he'll get more time under Havas, but if he doesn't, he should probably look to go on loan somewhere where he can get game time. Because I still think the experience that he has, he could still offer something to the national team. Maybe not as regular as he was before, but definitely coming off the bench and being part of the squad.
Yeah, so can you talk about your experience in Pune? Because you went there as a head of youth, technical that side, and then you were also the assistant manager, took over as manager. At that time, when you took over as manager, you always had a good squad. You lost Alfaro, I assume, by that time, but you always had a good squad. It is just not coming together. And then I felt over your time over there, you were improving significantly, slowly but surely. You were getting goals, you were keeping clean sheets, defensively you're getting better.
When I started there, the role was to try and pick the club up. They were, at that time, the least successful ISL team. Statistically, they had never qualified for the playoffs, and if you look at their points total, their wins, everything over the course of the previous three seasons, they were the worst ISL team at the time. So we went in and made some changes at the base, you can say, of their pyramid, and we started to see changes. We won the IFA Shield in my first season there, within the first few months. So we had a good core of young players, and what we felt was that we had to start blooding these youngsters into the team, because that gives the other youngsters in the club the belief that if I perform well, I do get an opportunity at this club, which very rarely happens. In most clubs, the youth setup is independent of the senior team, and even if you're doing well at the youth level, very rarely do you get the chance at the first team, and there's a disconnect at times. So one of we started to get these players involved in preseason. So what we told the boys is we'll play in preseason in the AWS Cup in Goa. And the best performers get promoted to the ISL. So it gave them an incentive. And Ashik was phenomenal in that tournament. And had he not been suspended for the semi-final, we probably would have won that tournament. I think Marcus even tweeted that at the time. And so Ashik got that opportunity, and a couple of other boys felt, okay, we can believe this coach. He's actually giving us an opportunity. And Bilal, the goalkeeper, Gunny, and a few other boys, Tarif, Garavora, all stood out for me in that preseason tournament. And then obviously, with the draft, we could bring in some players from our younger team. So we brought in Ashik and Anuj, the goalkeeper. And they did, that was the best season Pune had. They qualified for the playoffs. And then the following year, we improved the youth again by bringing Miraj in as an under-18 coach. And Miraj done phenomenal well with the team. He's taken them to the finals. They were unlucky to lose in the under-18 finals. And what we felt is that in Indian football, the problem is you have an under-13, under-15 league and under-18 league. And then there's only senior football. So there's a huge jump. You can't expect players who come out of an under-18 team to be ready to play in an ISL team. So you've somehow got to fill this gap of where you should have an under-21 league or a reserve league. So, and unfortunately, playing in the second division as a reserve team, you wait all year to play 4 matches or 6 matches. It's too long. So we did that in the first season and felt our players are just training for too long and waiting till January before they can play competitive football. That doesn't prepare them for the ISL for next season. So we took a decision to disband the concept of a reserve team. We had a reserve squad, but instead of playing as a team together, we said let the players go out on loan as they do abroad in Europe and everywhere else. So this year we had 11 players out on loan. We had Gaurav and Tarif at Chennai, and they went on to play regularly and win the I-League with Chennai City. We had Chester Paul at Churchill Brothers. We had Bilal, who turned out to be the top goalkeeper this season at Real Kashmir. And we had a couple of boys at Gokulam. So we had players loaned out to various I-League clubs. So this ensured that they're getting game time. So there's no way we can provide them 12 games a season, competitive games and action, and they've got to fight for their spot. And they're in competitive environments. And it's cost effective as well, because otherwise they're just on your books. So this was a fantastic way to win-win for everybody. And again, it gives the younger players like Sahil, who we brought into the senior team this year, and other boys, they believe that, okay, if I perform well, I will get an opportunity at this club. They don't have this. We didn't have the concept that you have to be a senior or well known name in football. You're good enough, you're young enough. Right? There's no issue there. And unfortunately, I think our preseason this year, with the way it went with the coach, it wasn't tying in with this philosophy that we had tried to set up. And we didn't get the results. So there was a big disconnect between the players and the coaching staff. So management decided to shake things up early on. And it's difficult to immediately get results because you don't have a good preseason, you don't have a good base on which to build upon. So I think if you look at the results, as you said, we started off positively against Goa, and you could see at least goal scoring was back, but there were issues that needed fixing. And we finally got that international window where I think we had a week where we could actually train. Otherwise, it was just back-to-back games. And once we had that week, and if you look at the results after that, it also coincided with Ian Hume coming back. So Humey came in, and we dropped Alfaro out, and that changed the dynamic of the team. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we didn't lose many games after Humey came in. And towards the end of, before the Christmas break, as you said, we were scoring goals, we kept clean sheets away to Kerala, we had a clean sheet against Goa, which at that point no one had kept a clean sheet. And I think only BFC managed all season to keep a clean sheet and win against Goa. So the results were going in the right direction, and I think Phil Brahma should build upon that as well. So.
But as an Indian coach, I mean, we always talk about how you guys are given a little bit of a shot in the stick. because of the white man syndrome, as you call it. Mm-hmm. So how difficult is it for an Indian coach? Because I had the similar conversation with Richard Wood, good friend of yours, I assume. But he's more in the youth system. As if you are in the first team coach, you've done that, assistant coach. Tango Singto is another good coach as an assistant in Kerala. Which is not a bad thing to have an Indian coach managing and stuff like that. But do you feel as an Indian coach there is a disadvantage here? Because even in the I League, you have a lot of foreign coaches.
You got to be careful here because it's always been the case where in the I League. Even if you go back 10 years into the I League, I think Churchill Brothers have won it with numerous foreign coaches. And even when Salgaonkar won it, you know, I think it was under Karim. And so it's been interspersed with Indian coaches and foreign coaches in the I League. So we've always had foreign coaches, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's good to have the players benefit from having different styles of coaching and different methodologies. So there's no harm in that at all. I think it's actually good and creates healthy competition. When it comes to the ISL, obviously in the initial years they had certain rules about marquee coaches, but as you can see, it's slowly
changing.
It's slowly changing, and it'll be good to see younger Indian coaches getting the opportunity to come in to clubs and maybe start as an assistant and then, you know, go on. I mean, you look at recently the Ajax coach who's doing very well. Yeah, Ten Hag. He was the reserve team coach at Bayern Munich under
Guardiola.
So technically he would have been a foreign coach there in Germany. So it happens all across the world. So it's good if you can get the opportunity to work under a good coach in the ISL, and it helps you in your career later on. So that's why I said it's good for the younger coaches. Now it's a bit difficult, like you said, for some of the experienced coaches who've already been head coaches to then take a backseat role. And again, it depends on how much your coach chooses to use you. Some ISL clubs you hear about, the assistant coach has very little on-field role. Some they have a huge role. I was fortunate at Pune where I did a lot of the pre-match preparation of the team because I know a lot more about the opposition than a coach who's in his first season in Indian football. So he wouldn't know who we're up against, what position certain players play. So it just depends on how the clubs choose to go about using them. And I think in the next few years you'll start to see changes, because I think the marquee rules changing. They're allowing coaches who previously wouldn't have been considered marquee. And I think last season was a perfect example. Carlos and Elko as well wouldn't have been approved previously.
I think you should also take some credit if the rules are changing or being relaxed. If you went out and showed that an Indian coach can compete at that level, albeit you couldn't stay there for a long time, but you managed to show it in the time that you had.
Yeah, I mean, I was there for technically half a season. I was there for 9 games. And I think if you get a full pre-season with your team, you have a lot more control of how, because then you can get your philosophies across. You're not going in and problem solving. You're not fixing problems out were there from a previous one. So going as an interim coach is completely different. But I think it'll probably happen in the next few years. There's a lot of changes happening in the ISL every year. If you look at what it was when it started.
I still don't like this daily game thing. It's just...
Yeah,
it's quite relentlessness of it. For players, for journalists like myself, because we have to keep time with it. And it just keeps climbing.
True. Down. I mean, we've all grown up with the concept of football is played on Saturday, or Sunday, there's weekend games, and then everyone plays the same day, then you can see who moves up and down the table. And then midweek is normally for your cup competition, would be ideal, instead of having a Super Cup at the end of the season, if we had a...
What I don't get about that concept? You end your league season with a cup final, and then you play a cup.
Yeah, but I think if you look deep...
Oh, yeah, I understand, but...
Yeah, if you look deep into it, you'll have to... Because of the AFC
minimum matches.
There's a reason for these things. And again, it takes time. This year, we're going to have the Super Cup before the league starts. That's what the talk is at the moment, which isn't ideal. But again, it actually does help. I remember it used to be like this in the I League.
You had the Durand Cup before.
Yeah, we had the Fed Cup a couple of years. When I was at Lajong, we played in the Fed Cup. We got to the semi-final before, and the Durand Cup, and then went into the league. So it builds momentum. and it's pre-season games. See, at the moment, if you look at a lot of ISL teams, they go abroad, come back to India, and then they're struggling to find games. So they, because none of the ISL teams want to play one another, so they call I-League teams. I think Bangalore played Chennai here, Gokulam, and a couple of
East
others.
Bengals.
Yeah, Minerva, a lot of teams. So it's a cost because you've got to fly these teams in, put them up in a hotel, and play against these teams. So by having a Super Cup in, let's say, two venues prior to the start of the I-League and ISL, it brings all the teams come in, and you can choose as a coach and a management or how you want to approach the Super Cup. Do you want to use it to try and win some silverware early and play your strongest team, or do you want to go in and say, hey, it's 3-4 practice matches, let's just rotate our squad, see how our bench strength is, or do you want to go in and say, let's just give our youth an opportunity and let's see how the youth do, and the best performing youth we can elevate to the senior team at this afternoon. So you can approach it in different ways. It is pre-season after all. Because there isn't
anything riding on winning the
correct
title. Yeah.
Yeah. If there was an AFC Cup spot,
yeah,
then it changes automatically. Then everyone's going to try and play their strongest team, and you get into Asia before even the league started. That would be the best case scenario.
Yeah.
So until we get 3 spots, I don't think that's likely to happen.
And that was Pradyum Reddy, part 1. We'll come back to you soon with part 2. In the meantime, please do follow us on Twitter at InjuryTimeIND, on Facebook, on Instagram. You know, subscribe to, click on the subscribe button in whatever podcast platform that you're on, because we're on there as well. Keep supporting us. We'll help you with come up with as much good content as possible. And keep listening and enjoying the game.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.